We're on the job. And we're going to television. And it will set the captives free. I have eyes to see. Ears that hear. And my heart is perceiving. You're on our case. Hallelujah. We're going into the Passion Translation, and it's going to be in Philippians chapter 3. I heard loud and clear Philippians 3.
By the way, that Deuteronomy 7,
yeah.
I've been back in that scripture, and it is really...
It's full.
Yeah, but the part that's really speaking is, because that's about God being faithful.
Yes.
So I said to him today, I said, okay, Lord.
Faithful and to build me up.
Where else is those words used that God is faithful?
Yeah.
Because that can't be the only one.
No, it's not.
Maybe the first one, but where else is that?
Your concordance. Your concordance would give you that. Okay. Philippians chapter 3. Okay. And I want to verse 32. I'm sorry, 12. This is kind of a small corner here. St. Paul says, I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing. But I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. To make me his own. 13, more important than 12. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. Say ouch. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. So now we're going to back it up. Okay? Verse 1 of chapter 3. A call to rejoice and a warning. My beloved ones, don't ever limit your joy or fail to rejoice in the wonderful experience of knowing our Lord Jesus. Knowing could be changed to intercourse. That relationship is harmonized where he is the bridegroom and you are the bride. So that kind of intimacy is what he's referring to. I don't mind repeating what I've already written to you because it protects you. And beware of those religious hypocrites who teach that you should be circumcised to please God. Again, that's a works program that they required in order to make God happy by your actions. And of course, Paul is just saying, phooey with that. For we have already experienced heart circumcision. What is heart circumcision? It's recognizing that he loves you, recognizing that he died for you, recognizing that you are holy, you are righteous, and you've been delivered. So, for we have already experienced heart circumcision, and we worship God in the power and freedom of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I worship in the Holy Spirit, what am I doing? I'm not using the logic. I'm not using my mind. I'm using my inner man, which is a direct connection to Papa and to the Lord. Not in laws and religious duties. So there's the actual background of my Catholic circumstances. If you miss church on Sunday, it's a mortal sin. You're going straight to hell. You don't get a go or a free pass. If you eat meat on Friday, you're stuck. You know, and I could go on and on and on and on. Okay? All these religious rules and regulations. And if you observe them all, you might make it to heaven. Okay? It's a question. Because you're a practicing Catholic. You never become. You're a practicing Catholic. When the Holy Spirit came into my life, I changed the terms of that word. I would say, I'm all done practicing. I'm now a Catholic. And the Catholic, the word Catholic means universal. So you're part of the universal church. The denominations are just that. They're all kinds of revelations that have come over the years. And people get stuck in one of them and they claim they're the ones that are holy. And don't argue with them because that's okay. So, we are those who boast in what Jesus Christ has done. That is the truth. What did he do? He died on the tree for all of us. Amen?
Amen.
And not in what we can accomplish in our own strength. Notice again, what we can accomplish on our natural abilities. We are spirit beings using spirit tools to accomplish spirit results. That's a mouthful.
Yes, it is.
Okay? So when you are not depending on your own strength, who gets the glory?
Yes.
He does. If I'm depending on how great I am and how I can save money by going off the highway and picking up some moldings, the windshield wipers stopped because God said, whoa, there's a man that's about to die and you need to be up there. I had no clue. He knew. I didn't. Okay? And I did get reprimanded by Thea. I hope she's forgiven. No, of course, we went over that. It's true that I once relied on all that I had become. So you see, his religious background had value to teach him that was the wrong thing. So you say, well, wait a minute, my background. Your background is your background. And it's not to be poo-pooed away because you have experiential knowledge to help others out when the time is right. I once relied on all that I had become. I had a reason to boast and impress people with my accomplishments more than others, for my pedigree was impeccable. I love the way he speaks that. I was born a true Hebrew of the Hebrew heritage of Israel. As the son of a Jewish man from the tribe of Benjamin, I was circumcised 8 days after my birth, rules and regulations. I was raised in the strict traditions of Orthodox Judaism, living a separated and devout life as a Pharisee, and concerning the righteousness of the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. No one surpassed me. I was without a peer. Furthermore, as a fiery defender of the truth, I persecuted the messianic believers with religious zeal. Yet all of the accomplishments that I once took credit for, I've now forsaken them. And I regard it all as nothing compared to the delight of experiencing Jesus Christ as my Lord. Experience, recognition of the harmony that you have with him And being able to acknowledge that you're aware of the harmony between you and him, so that he can eventually use you as his very own. Just like the Father was able to use the Son, the same procedure will manifest down the road. And that's what he's preparing a people to be. That is his job, to download this truth to us. And yes, we will need a dish. We'll need a dish. From the third heaven. Okay? To truly know him meant letting go of everything from the past and throwing all my boasting on the garbage heap. Not funny, but, you know, he's clear here. Okay? All of your personal experiences that were sweet and lovely and, oh, and I did such a good job, on the garbage heap. It's all like a pile of manure to me now. Pretty blunt, but truth, right? So that I may be enriched in the reality of knowing Jesus Christ. Again, the word knowledge, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and embrace him as Lord in all of his greatness. Not too long ago, I was with a group of people and they were singing, "He is Lord." Okay? And once the song ended, out of my mouth bubbled, "Is he really Lord? Are you doing only what he tells you?" And it got super quiet.
I bet.
Ah. So it went on a little deeper. How many decisions are made when you communicate with him first? How many decisions are made that he's kind of tagging along instead of being in control? And I know I'm guilty too, so I'm not accusing. I was just bringing out the reality. Is he really Lord? Verse 9, my passion is to be consumed with him. I love that. My passion is to be consumed with him and not cling to my own righteousness. Because you see, he was righteous as a Pharisee. He had to turn the dial, push all of Pharisees' rules and regulations and pride in all the things he did for God, and throw that on the manure pile and go forward. It was based on keeping written laws. My only righteousness will be his, based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. So now he's switched gears. Why is he holy? Because of what Jesus did on the tree for me. Why is he righteous? Because of the blood of the Lamb that washed away all the stains from his body and the stains that are on his robes. And that's what we're in the process of now. Okay? It's based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the very righteousness that comes from God. Why was he righteous? Because Father was fully alive in him and he was able to raise the dead. When we are in total harmony with him, we will also be able to raise the dead. When Jesus got the news that Lazarus was sick, Why didn't he go right away? He was a very good friend. And even the apostles, well, they were disciples at that time, said, you know, how come we're not going? Your friend is sick. Oh, he says, yeah, he says, he's sleeping. Okay? And they said, well, if he's sleeping, then he's already better. No, he says, he's dead. Well, why aren't we there? And I question, this is absolute truth. I question, Lord, 4 days. You laid in the ground 3 days. Why did you leave him 4 days? You get a clue? It was 4,000 years from Adam. So Adam had been in the grave for 4,000 years. And Jesus was now coming in to resurrect all of the Adamic race and set them free. 4 days. There was a reason and there was a purpose. That's a nugget that I only learned in the past maybe 8-9 months. Verse 10, and I continually long to know the wonders of Jesus. If you're going to have a relationship with a wife or husband, okay, and you want to discover the wonders, you're going to discover that usually on the honeymoon. Then you get to know the real person because the honeymoon is over. And no, he's not interested in wiping dishes. No, he's more interested in the football game or whatever he's passionate about. And vice versa. Oh, she was interested in me until the children came. And when the children come, I'm not needed anymore. Unless it's to do the changing of the diaper and feeding the baby and whatever else. Okay? So the priorities are changed. Did the priorities of Jesus change with his father while he was baptized in the Holy Spirit? No, it increased. The relationship with Papa got bigger and bigger. Okay? I continually long to know the wonders of Jesus and to experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. It's not outside of me. It's working in me. And I will be one with him in his suffering. Yeah, if you don't think that one hit home today, I've tasted some of that. I will be one with him in his sufferings and become like him in his death. I'm not there yet. Only then will I be able to experience complete oneness with him. Verse 11, if you haven't got a circle around it, you better mark it, because that verse 11 is so important. That's the purpose of maturing the saints. Okay? Only then will I be able to experience complete oneness with him in his resurrection from the realm of death, which is the realm of the Adamic nature. Only then will I be able to experience complete oneness with him in his resurrection from the realm of death. I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I am pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Say, I admit, Lord, that I haven't acquired the absolute fullness of Jesus in me. But I'm pursuing. And I'm running with passion. Into his abundance. So that I may reach. The purpose for which Christ,
the purpose for which Christ,
Jesus laid a hold of me.
Jesus laid a hold of me.
He got a hold of me.
Got a hold of me.
To make me his own.
To make me his own.
I'm the bride.
I'm the bride.
And he's the bridegroom.
And
I don't depend on my own strength anymore.
To accomplish this.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm out of a job.
I'm out of a job.
That's the Lord that's going to complete me.
That's the Lord that's going to complete me.
Hallelujah. So you just actually went to verse 13. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future. Instead, I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. So let us all who are fully mature have this same passion. And if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, God will reveal it to them. And let us all advance together to reach this victory prize, following one path with one passion. My beloved friends, imitate my walk with God and follow all those who walk according to the way of life we modeled before you. For there are many who live by different standards. As I've warned you many times, I weep as I write these words. They are enemies of the cross of the Anointed One, and doom awaits them. Their God has possessed them and made them mute. Their boast is in their shameful lifestyles, and their minds are in the dirt. But we are a colony of heaven on earth. That I thought was super cool. We're part of a colony of heaven living on earth. Isn't that cool? As we cling tightly to our life giver, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our humble bodies and transfigure us into the identical likeness of his glorious body. And using his matchless power, he continually subdues everything to himself. So, some people want to be raptured. Some people want to be transformed. In reality, without the intimacy and the house cleaning that he's doing in us, it's not going to happen. So we have to have the house cleaning first, and the root systems kind of have the wind of the Lord kind of blow it away so that the dirt's got. And then when we see it, he said, I will send my angels to gather the roots, tie them up, and burn them. How does he do that? By letting me and you go through tests that we don't always like. By going through hardships that we don't enjoy. But we relate when we see his hand and his way of setting us free in the middle of the test. He's in it with us. He's in it with us. And it is painful. People go through stuff, and some of it is very difficult. So, put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord, there's a lot of goodies here.
Lord, there's a lot of goodies here.
I want them.
I want them.
And I'm asking for grace.
And I'm asking for grace.
And favor. And the spirit of understanding,
and
might,
and might,
to go to work on me,
to, go to, work on me,
to do the house cleaning,
to
To make room.
To make room.
For more of you, Lord.
For more of you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We pray.
We pray.
Yeah.